From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Scientists say the gray wolves of Isle Royale National Park are dangerously close to extinction. Biologists with Michigan Tech University say they counted only 9 wolves on the Lake Superior Island this winter. That's down from 16 a year ago. It's the lowest number since scientists began monitoring the park's wolves and moose a half century ago. Biologists Rolf Peterson and John Vucetich say a shortage of females, inbreeding, and starvation caused the crash. Wolves migrated to Isle Royale from the mainland on an ice bridge around 1950. Peterson and Vucetich say their presence is essential to prevent moose from over-browsing. Park Superintendent Phyllis Green says no decision has been made whether to bring in more wolves. With just a few weeks before the spring camping season opens in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, the U.S. Forest Service expects as many as 76 campsites on 23 lakes to be unavailable in a hangover from last year's big Pagami Creek fire. Rangers had hoped to have most back in operation when paddlers returned, but spokeswoman Chris Reichenbach says the standing scorched trees known as snags and burned latrines raise safety and sanitation issues that still must be addressed. Foresters hope the wind and snow will take down some of the snags before crews return to the area. Connecting a new community center to the ISD 166 school complex has been mostly background noise. Now, on Wednesday, all the interested parties met to discuss the pros and cons of a school-county alliance. Cook County Commissioner Sue Hakes serves on the Community Center Steering Committee, and she acknowledges the issue is complex.
In the past, perhaps there just hasn't been enough diving down into the nitty-gritty of it to get good information to the school board, good information to the county board, good information to the steering committee about whether or not it makes sense. We had an excellent, excellent conversation. I think the school board asked some really good questions of the county board and the steering committee, and also of the YMCA representative that was there, and I think they got a lot of their questions answered.
The possible role of the YMCA organization is new to the community center discussion, but it brings a number of advantages to the table.
Well, the Y has about 3,000 facilities across the nation. They're really good at what they do. They're experts in fundraising, managing facilities like this, security, programming. They've been around the block. One of the things that I'm really eager to hear from them is a business plan. You know, they've got the resources. They've got other examples for communities that are about the size of Grand Marais. In fact, they've got a real good comparable in a community that's about 2,000 people. And so what they can do is plug in our demographics, pick our brains, understand the community and what we want and need, and they can make a projection on whether or not they think a Y would be successful in our community. The other thing that they bring to the party is fundraising. They're experts at fundraising. They do it all the time. They're really good at it. And so when we talk about operation and maintenance expenses for the facility, which has been a huge concern of the county board and a huge concern of the public, bringing the Y on board really lends credibility to that because they historically don't fail. They're not going to go into a community until they believe that it can be a win. Now, it's a nonprofit, so their focus is on people, not on profits.
The county board expects more information from the YMCA within the next couple of weeks and a yes or no from the school on whether or not to proceed with the dialogue by April 19th. Hakes said the potential school-county collaboration has resurfaced recently due to some issues the district has with the west end of its facility.
Just recently, the school has experienced more problems with their gymnasium floor. There's asbestos under it, the floor is buckled, it can't be sanded down anymore, and the school is in a position where they need to make some decisions about that gymnasium and also that whole west end of the building. They've got some moisture problems, etc. And so one of the thoughts is if we join facilities here, the community center and the school, is that we could use the kitchen that the school already has. We could renovate that gym. We might be able to renovate some of those office spaces to use for meeting rooms or office spaces for the community center, but it relieves the school of some of their burden because they've got, 30,000 square feet or something that they're trying to not inhabit anymore. And so that's a real plus for them.
Hakes said the ball is in the school's court. The work of the Community Center Steering Committee will continue. Once again, science, religion, and politics have become entwined in the thorny public policy debate. This time, it's about wolves. Specifically, a bill in the Wisconsin legislature to authorize a hunting season on wolves. The state Senate has approved it, and the Assembly is set to consider the bill this week. A similar hunting bill is currently being considered by Minnesota legislators. Though supported by hunters and politicians on both sides of the aisle, wildlife biologists have a number of criticisms and suggestions about the bill involving how, when, and how many wolves should be killed. However, the New York Times reports the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Game Commission, which represents 11 tribes of the Ojibwe in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan, opposes the hunt on the basis of religious principle and tradition. In written testimony presented to both legislative houses, James Zorn, the executive administrator of the commission, said, quote, "In the Anishinaabe creation story, we are taught that wolf is a brother to original man. The health and survival of the Anishinaabe people is tied to that of wolf. For that reason, the tribes are opposed to a public hunt. Court settlements on treaty rights meant that the tribes must be consulted about decisions like the wolf hunt. The Indian Fish and Game Commission says they were not. Joe Rose Sr., a professor emeritus of Native American Studies at Northland College in Ashland, Wisconsin, and an elder of the Bad River Band, put it this way, quote, "We see the wolf as a predictor of our future, and what happens to wolf happens to Anishinaabe. Whether other people see it or not, the same will happen to them," unquote. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.